Welcome to Insurance Claims Innovation. I am Chris Tidball, Executive Claims Consultant with Second Look, where we routinely find our insurance clients millions of dollars. On our podcast, we showcase others in the insurance claims arena who are using cutting-edge technology to gain a competitive advantage. We believe that all of our guests have a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around to the end of the show and we will reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Welcome to Insurance Claims Innovation. Today we have Angela Lee, Director of National Claims Operations with Marsh & McLennan and co-founder and executive board member for Asian American Insurance Network. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your journey into the insurance space. How did you find your way to where you are today?
Sure. I think like a lot of people, I just fell into it. Maybe more these days, even my son, he's actually an intended risk management and insurance major at UGA right now. So okay. He's planning to come into the industry. But most of us fall into it. And I'm one of those that fell into the bucket. But after 9/11, I graduated college. The job market was terrible. Right. I was having a really hard time finding a job. I had majored just in business administration, focused on management. And I had a call from Travelers. They found me on monster.com.
Okay.
And so that was a long time ago, but they found me on monster.com and they had a claims assistant role available in their bond and what they called the bond and financial products group back then. And so they said, hey, we have this role available. Would you have any interest in coming to apply? And I said, insurance, really? What do I know about insurance? And especially bonds, like really the only bond I'd ever heard about was maybe a jail bond. So I had no knowledge of the insurance industry whatsoever. Decided to take a leap and did some investigation and research before I went for the interview. I found out that this was like the best career move I could have made. And I thought it was going to be a job that was going to be maybe a year or two. That was going to be my stepping ground to my next role. Ended up that I had this tremendous mentor who saw something in me. And then I started really engaging in looking at the claim files, right? And I was handling as a claim assistant, but looking at D&O files or EPL files, just really complex and interesting case scenarios, and talk about mediations and reservation of rights letters. And so that really piqued my interest. And so I started really doing a lot more research and digging into that. And throughout, I was at Travelers for about 13 years and continued to progress in my career throughout that time. And so most of my career was focused on specialty lines. So a lot of the executive risk, cyber became a big piece. I had joined Beasley. I was there for about 6 years and led the EPL focus group with the crime group as well. And so I had the opportunity to lead a team there and just really hone in on my technical expertise and also from the London market. So that was really unique to be able to work in the London market, have opportunities to work on manuscript boarding. So it was just something that I never knew was going to be something that I would be so excited about, but yeah. I geek out about insurance. I really do. But the coverage aspect is something that was really appealing to me, the technical piece, but just being able to connect with people. It's their claims is when they're having the most difficult time, right? Whether it's on a personal level or even on a corporate level, it's a really stressful time to be able to work with them closely, to help them walk through a claim scenario and through resolution all the way from start to finish. That's something that was really satisfying for me. And so here I am 23 years later, right? Still handling claims, but I switched over about 6 years ago, actually 5 years ago to the brokerage side. Right. So I always joked when I was on the carrier side that the brokerage side is the dark side, but I've really enjoyed being on the carrier side. And so currently I'm at Marsh & McLennan Agency as the National Claims Director for Claims Operations. And prior to that, I just took on that role earlier this year. I led the Southeast Division. So I was with the Southeast Division for about 3 years and I led a large team of claims advocates there. But it's been really interesting to see it from the brokerage side, to see it all the way from the placement through the end of the claims resolution and the value that brokerages can bring, and whether it's escalation or just providing guidance and advocacy for a client, because oftentimes, again, they don't know what to expect and they need somebody to hold their hand and make sure that they feel protected and secure as they work through the claims.
It's fascinating being on the brokerage side, and you have knowledge and experience in both. Where do you see the biggest value that brokers add to the carriers?
Yeah, I think it's really that strong partnership that we have with carriers. And I try to maintain a really strong partnership on even on a personal level, right? I try to be very proactive in building those relationships before issues arise, right? But there's going to be times where denials happen, or there's coverage issues that come up. There's issues related to defense counsel engagement.
Right.
There's so many things that can go wrong in a claim scenario. And I think where we can add the most value is, first of all, have those conversations with our client first and let them know, hey, these are standard market conditions. These are standard market aspects, whether it's a coverage denial or there may be exclusion or something that's applicable. Here's the reasons why carriers do this, or explaining to them what that claims process should look like. And oftentimes the clients will get really upset because they don't know better, right? They don't know what that process is going to look like. So we can, you know, guide them through what that process should look like. And when we are able to partner with our carriers and say, hey, here's the issue that we're seeing, but do it in a respectful way, right? Do it where we're not having heated heads, but having meaningful conversations, trying to really get to the root of what did that policy language state and what it intend to cover. And we're ultimately, both on the carrier side and on the broker side, we're all just trying to get a good result here.
Exactly.
Right? And make sure that the coverage that's intended is triggered the way it's supposed to. But I would strongly encourage carriers to continue that strong relationship with the brokers. We have the closer relationship with the client than the carriers often will, right? And so to leverage us, if there is an issue, we always want you to come to us first and say, hey, Angela, we're having this issue. The client's upset. Here's the reason why. And then we can strategize about the best way to resolve that, right? What's the best way to communicate an issue to a client? What's the best strategy for resolutions, next steps? Right. I would strongly encourage carriers to connect with us ahead of time. That's the worst thing, when we're taken out of the loop.
Oh, yeah.
And they go straight to the client and they inform some bad news, and that never goes well, right? So whether it's good news or bad news, just use us as an extension of the team and just leverage the relationship that we have.
Yeah, it's, I think, great from your client's perspective, because so the amount of time you spent on the carrier side, you can relate to a lot of the issues.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's probably a lot of brokers that can't, you know, in the way that you can.
Yeah, I would, when I have those conversations with the carriers, I know exactly why they're asking certain questions.
Right.
Or I try to be more proactive because I know what they're going to look for in terms of a proof of loss or in terms of documentation. And so I try to have that conversation with the client ahead of time.
Yeah.
And before they step in it, there's like a defense counsel, panel counsel requirement on a policy. I let the client know, hey, here's the reason why panel counsel is necessary. Here are the firms and here's the recommendations I would have. To have that conversation, it comes a lot better when we receive it from us oftentimes.
Right.
That's from carrier side. But no, I do agree. Having that carrier experience and then moving to the brokerage side, I do feel like it does make me a little bit more valuable because I get what the carrier adjusters are thinking.
Right. So tell me a little bit about the Asian American Insurance Network.
Sure. So the Asian American Insurance Network was actually born out of a CLM conference 2 years ago. It was myself and Rachel Kim and Albert Alakin and then Peter Wu. We were the original four co-founders, but we were in a CLM meeting just at a bar, just talking about that we're seeing a lack of Asian American representation within claims. We're just the insurance industry as a whole. And we're aware of other affinity groups, NAIA and LIA, for other minority groups, but hadn't really seen anything from the AAPI community. And so we said, why don't we start one?
Yeah.
Right? And so we started doing some research, and there really wasn't anything that was holistic that covered everything across the insurance industry. Then that means from agencies, like independent agencies and brokerages and carriers and all of the outside ancillary vendors that work within the insurance industry, right?
Right.
And so we wanted to bring everybody together, and it's not just targeted for API. Of course, we have missions that we want to support, but since we launched 2 years ago, we now have over 2,200 members.
Wow, that's great.
We have 40 corporate sponsors across different brokerages and carriers. And we've had the great fortune of working with organizations like CLM, Plus, WSIA, RIMS. Yeah, so it's been an amazing growth, and to see the amount of support that we have across the insurance industry has been tremendous. But really the pillars that we're focusing on is to provide aspects for networking, but also for education. And that goes across bringing awareness to younger generations for people that don't know about insurance industry. And so even targeting like high school and college kids to try to bring them into the industry. We're looking at aspects like we have the Women's Network. We have a mentorship program. We want to create platforms for our members to be able to show their our expertise, right? We recently just launched our advisory council board that has some really solid representation as well. But yeah, just really looking forward to driving that mission forward and just really excited for that we've had.
It's hugely valuable because what we see in the world of insurance is we're getting older and we're retiring at a faster rate than I think just about any other profession out there. How do you get kids in, right? Like you mentioned, your son is in insurance. Yeah. My son's an adjuster. Okay. But do you have specific things you're going out to maybe colleges, recruiting kids in that can just pick it up while we're leaving it off?
Yeah, so we currently have relationships with the University of Georgia, with University of Southern California. We've built some connections with Columbia University.
Yep.
They have a master's program there, but what we're looking to do is grow those types of programs across all of the universities. Not every college has a specific risk management and insurance major, right? But those are the ones that we want to target at probably initially. But I think what happens is sometimes it's by the time they get into their junior year, they sometimes don't know exactly what they want to do, but why can't we get to them earlier? And we have opportunities to engage with those students, whether it's a career fair, right? So we're hoping to be able to do a career fair at some point, but to get to those college students earlier, even at the high school level, we just recently had launched our first scholarship program for high school and college students.
Right.
So to really just try to get them engaged and to be more, I don't think they realize outside of what they may see on commercials, on home and auto, you know, the vast opportunities there are within the insurance industry.
So many.
There's so many things that you can do, and it's so rewarding. And, you know, I think my son was really engaged because he likes the analytical, like technical aspect, but he really likes the people aspect of it as well. And that's a really fine balance between the two. And I think kids that they just need to know what's out there.
Right.
And it is scary because there's going to be a mass exodus. There's a lot of people that are going to be retiring. And that's the hardest thing is trying to find really strong talent. But we got to bring them in early and train them up. Yeah. And especially in claims, I think there's just vast opportunities here.
Absolutely. Angela, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you on.
It was such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Insurance Claims Innovation. Are you interested in being a guest on our show? We would love to have you. Visit us at go.secondlook.net/podcast-guest. Please share Insurance Claims Innovation with others on social media and provide rave reviews about our guests. The goal of Insurance Claims Innovation is to showcase others in the insurance claims arena who are using cutting-edge technology to gain a competitive advantage. Follow us at Insurance Claims Innovation and subscribe to our podcast. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at Second Look, Inc. Interested in learning more? Stop by our website at www.secondlook.net. Again, thank you for joining us today. My name is Chris Tidball, and I hope you found this to be time well spent.